Radio Cars by Jennifer Phillips. Part 5, A Moving Target, with Gary Waldhorn as Eddie and Harriet Walter as Angela.
"6060, do you read me? French! Is that a smell of burning rubber around the back there?
Well, the plug is a bit overloaded, then. With the drinks machine there, as well as the TV and the radio.
I don't want my radio to short. Smell the plug.
Car service?
No, it's not that. It's the oxtail soup.
Yes, madam. Of course.
It spilt when the cup didn't pop out.
There might be a slight delay, madam.
And the soup went all over the carpet.
My pleasure. Goodbye. Then get a cloth and wipe it up.
No, it's called in the same place Mohammed spilt his antifreeze last year.
Oh, well, that's a relief, French. That's very reassuring. Thank you. Now, get me a coffee. Car service?
I can't.
Madam, please. He'll be with you soon. Why can't you?
I haven't got a 20p piece.
Oh, not again.
Well, it's your idea to get a drinks dispenser.
6-0, where are you?
That slipper you're calling.
I can't raise him.
He's gone home.
Why? He said the black eye wasn't bothering him. He said he didn't think he got concussion after all.
But it wasn't the dust-up outside the Rialto Hotel that shook him. It was the oxtail soup.
Come again?
When he pressed for soup, the cup didn't come out. It went in his shoes and everything.
As soon as I've answered this, I'm onto that drinks machine outfit again. Car service? Lawrence, how are you, boy?
Do you want black coffee, black with sugar, or black extra sweet?
Lawrence, when have I ever been too busy to talk to you?
White or cream with or extra sweet?
Well, if you're only round the corner, mate, come in now, before the rush.
I'll be back.
Good. See you then. What am I getting?
Black extra sweet and a cup.
That's handy.
Well, if you've got another 20p piece, eh?
That was Lawrence.
Oh, he works for Terry, didn't he?
Yeah.
You have to box a bit clever, eh?
Why?
Terry had 6 of his boys parked up at a Sorrento Hotel last night. 6 to 3. And why not? I mean, he's been working at hotel for a good 5 years now.
Nobody's territory is sacrosanct, boy. That's one of the first lessons. Car service? No, sir. I'm sorry. My Rolls and my Mercedes are booked solid until the middle of next week.
Turning away work, Ed?
Yes. With some more notice, sir. Thank you.
That must hurt.
It's a cleft stick, French. Without the quality cars, I'm not getting the quality work. And without the prestige jobs, I'm not attracting the right cars.
What's Lawrence drive now? Another stretch job?
All I need is my foot in the door.
Terry's never short of VIP cars.
He's all swank.
I'll be careful what you say to Lawrence, because Terry must know he's coming round here.
He didn't call me on the radio, boy. He was using his car phone.
Oh, I see.
Good 2-2. Go W430, Davenport Lane. Repeat 3-0.
Hello, Eddie. Oh, that's it.
As per usual.
French, is it?
Yes. Would you like a coffee?
Roger 2-2.
Thanks, yeah.
Well, Law, as the niceties over, what can I do for you?
Okay. Terry wants to know if you want to come to an arrangement over these disputed hotels.
I don't need protection from him.
Well, you might not, but what about your drivers?
They're free agents.
Oh, come off it, Ed.
You were a free spirit once, too. I didn't realise you were into letting Terry push you around.
He's busy. That's what matters to me.
I'm snowed under, too.
Not with the class work, though.
My drivers drive. They don't spend half the day parked up behind the Intercontinental trying to keep awake reading the mirror back to front and upside down.
I grant you I'm bored out of me skull, but then the money...
Car service.
Cream with that, Lawrence, okay?
Thanks.
Still got your Y Merc?
No, I got a 300CE Astral Silver with red eye trim, phone, TV and fridge.
Nice one.
It's £8 to Victoria.
It cost me, French, and a tea break. What you got?
Me? Ah, 4 doors and a loose exhaust.
In 2 hours. That'll be 9:15. We'll be there, sir. And before you start feeling sorry for yourself, French, ask what rent Terry's charging him now.
What do you know about it?
Car service. Plenty.
There's not much escape, said he. You ought to work for him for a bit, then you'd know.
Sweetheart, it's lovely to hear your voice. But just at the moment, I'm too busy to discuss Clause 32A of the coffee machine contract.
Terry is getting on my wick.
He's vicious, too. Slip's got a nasty black eye from last night, and Gringo's got a dent in his offside wing.
Angel, I'll discuss it with you later. I'm in the middle of an important business meeting right now, so if you don't mind... Yes, 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 the coffee machine is raking in the money. No problems whatever. Goodbye. Tell Terry he's welcome to the Rialto Hotel.
Are we backing down in it?
I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
What? Why?
I found out last night what Terry's paying the porter there in commissions.
That is Sancho, isn't it?
Sancho's got the biggest overcoat of any porter in town.
He's a walking bank.
He's got pockets running from top to bottom inside that overcoat of his, Lawrence. Sterling down one side, dollars, yen and Deutschmark down the other.
Oh, ain't that some number, eh? I'm always telling Rod he ought to get himself into hotel portering.
Your son?
How is the boy? Still keeping out of trouble?
Of course. Well, I'll just have this and then I'd better...
Swiss Cottage, darling. Where from?
God, have you pissed in this cup or what?
The fact is, Eddie, that even with a gilt-edged investment, one has to take one's management costs into consideration.
I can spot a money spinner a mile off, sweetheart.
OK, so the drivers are pumping money into the machine like there's no tomorrow. But you haven't allowed for the cost of the powders and the cups, which come from a different supply source, as well as the additional consumption of electricity.
Business isn't just a question of sums, it's a question of using your imagination.
Then use yours. You've made a mistake, admit it. You shouldn't have signed that contract without consulting me, because I would have been boringly pedantic enough to sit down and read the small print.
If it wasn't for me, this company wouldn't have one driver to drink the coffee, let alone 50. And if you start on about clause 32A again...
That clause disclaims their liability for any fault, and those machines are always going wrong.
How do you know?
It's broken down already. Has it?
Answer your phone.
I know, because the one at the swimming pool is always out of action.
You'll be out of action if you don't shut up.
Hello?
Angela, is there something wrong?
Oh, Mummy.
Darling, I've just had a call from Marshall in California.
Who?
You remember. Marshall used to represent Daddy's interests in the States.
Oh, yes.
His son, Marshall Jr., is coming to London on business at the end of this week. He wants me to arrange a car to meet him at the airport. Well, a limousine, actually, which they, Jr. and his partner, want to keep at their disposal for a fortnight. Imagine! I had to bite my lip to stop myself mentioning Eddie.
But why? It's my company Eddie runs, after all.
With their sort of money, they tend to expect trouble-free service. Oh, and they want security.
Security?
Oh, you know the way these Americans carry on, with armed guards patrolling the grounds of their condos. Anyway, darling, it is out of your league, but I did think you might have the contacts, and perhaps Eddie could cream off a tiny bit of commission for your company on the side.
He's here now. I'll mention it to him.
And ring me back tomorrow. Bye.
Some high-powered business friends of my mother's want a limousine for 2 weeks. What a shame we can't do it.
Pass me the phone, sweetheart.
But, Eddie...
This is just what I was waiting for. An old friend of mine with one of the best cars on the road was in today begging me for work.
Car service.
Jojo, Eddie, who's Terry's night controller?
No one I know, Ed.
That's good. Give him a ring. Pretend you're staying at the Rialto Hotel and that Lawrence is going to pick you up in the morning. You need his car phone number because you'll be expecting an important business call then. Got it?
Well, I think so, Ed, but...
Good boy. Ring me back with that number.
Eddie, we don't need complications.
Leave it with me, darling.
Because even if we could provide the car, they want security as well.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got an account with one of the biggest security outfits in London.
Of course.
I'll ring them in the morning. And Angel, sorry I lost my temper with you over the machine. The fact is, it keeps going wrong, and the stuff it spews out tastes awful.
Oh, Eddie.
Might be because Danny ran the water supply for it off the tap in the lavatory.
Oh, Eddie. What shall we do?
That's something else I'll have to sort out in the morning. Yes, 6-0, to base, please. You heard me correctly. Come to base. Well, what do you think?
What about Terry?
What about him?
Oh, he's going to be well pleased, you poaching one of his drivers after having a go at his hotels.
If I need to contact you, I'll use a car phone, not the radio.
That's a point.
As far as he's concerned, you've taken 2 weeks off.
I got a high profile in that car, though, Ed.
And don't talk to me about loyalty, please. It's too early in the morning.
No, I'm the same as anyone. I go where the money is.
No. Continue coming my way, 6-0. Just keep the details to yourself, Law. I mean, obviously I asked you in this early, so my day shift didn't have their ears flapping.
But if you're not charging me anything and I'm putting the punter's money straight in my pocket, where are you getting your cut?
From the security angle, Lawrence.
But you just told me Ironside security guards quoted you something astronomical.
Which is why I'm using one of my own boys.
And pocketing the difference, right. Who is it?
My 6-0. Goes by the name of Slippy. Big guy, stands 6 foot. Ex-boxer.
Well, I'll leave you to it then, Ed. A bit too early for me. In fact, Rod usually does my early and late driving for me.
Rod?
That's a point. Rod's changed now, Ed. He works on the bins till 2, goes home, has a wash and brush up, then drives my car of an evening. He shares the insurance on it, see, because it's a killer on that Merc. And I share my luck with him. He does an early shift too if he's gone sick on the bins.
I thought he was on the milk.
No, he done the milk for 2 years. You can't stay longer than that or they tumble you.
He's still light-fingered, then?
The lad's got a very responsible attitude now.
Spare me, will you?
He's even bought a timeshare on a flat in Tenerife.
Car service?
Playa de las Americas. Lovely spot. Do you want to go?
No, thank you. Yes, darling. Your car is booked and we'll get you there in good time.
What do you call me in here for, Ed?
Well, like the black guy. It's a good advert, isn't it, Ed?
Slippy, meet Lawrence.
See you later, Ed. You too, Slippy.
Is that his car?
Fancy a ride, innit?
What a beauty, eh?
See yourself watching TV, innit, while you pour yourself a drink from the bar in the back?
How the other half lives, eh?
Well, now it's your turn. And you're going to get paid for it. I want you to ride shotgun for Lawrence for a couple of weeks.
What? Oh, have I, Ed? I haven't carried a gun for years.
There's no need to get crude about it. No need to go over the top. All you need to do is look the part.
Yeah? Then who are the clients?
Couple of high flyers. Yanks. Money for jam, boy.
Yeah? But I'd need to wear a suit and I haven't got one.
Then run down the market and get yourself a Rambo outfit. Car service.
Joking apart, Ed. I was pretty shaken up by this black eye and everything, and I'm not sure I can handle it.
Can you hold the line one moment, please, madam? Then this is a job for you, Slip.
Why?
Because it's the nearest thing to a rescuer you're ever likely to get.
All I'm saying is, Angel, as long as everything is laid on for them and your cab arrangements reflect my usual standards of hospitality...
Going to be very expensive with the security as well as the car.
The marshals have never quibbled over money.
The deposit to the security company, you see, which represents 50%, I'm having to pay up front in cash. So I'd hate them to change their minds once they'd arrive.
Angela... If there's a problem, now is the time to tell me, not when they arrive at 1300 hours tomorrow.
No, there's nothing.
You sounded a bit niggly on the phone last night.
Oh, I'm just worried about a coffee machine at the office. But I suppose I'll feel much more positive about it when Eddie unlocks the machine and collects up the takings at the end of the week.
Darling, never be sidetracked by trivia in business.
By the end of the week, I'll be laughing all the way to the bank.
Who did it?
Nobody knows, Ed.
Somebody must know.
I agree with Eddie. Is it possible, I ask you, is it possible to jemmy the back off that machine without someone seeing or hearing something, given that there always has to be someone here day or night to look?
Shut up!
Eddie, forget the bloody machine. Listen to me, Eddie. I can't do it.
You what?
Ride shotgun. I've been awake all night, Ed. I only had cornflakes for breakfast and they went straight through me.
Oh, shut up.
I'll do the job, Eddie.
Lawrence will be calling in any minute on his way to the airport.
I'll do it for you, Slippy.
Lawrence?
No, it's me, Nico.
What do you want?
I hear the boys might be in need of a kettle. So I've brought this steel-boxed, a year's guarantee on the element, melamine jug style in dove grey.
Get out!
I wouldn't mess with Eddie today, Nico.
Why, what's going on?
You heard about the machine?
I heard a whisper, yes.
And the week's takings nicked, and our Slip's got cold feet over being bodyguard to some high flies from the States.
But I'm going to stand in for Slippy.
I wouldn't do that, Liam.
Why not?
Because you sound like the IRA.
It's a point, isn't it, Ed?
Take that phone, French, while I think this one through.
Mind you, I saw Gringo in the pub last night, and he was laying odds on them being mafia.
See, Ed, it's too big a job for me.
Car service.
Gringo's cousin in Sardinia. They chopped his hand off, you know.
And your destination, mate.
You know nothing, Nico.
Anyway, my money's on it being a drugs cartel.
You're hoping, aren't you?
Your car will be there in 10 minutes, then. Bye.
I couldn't handle it.
Mind, I need to get to the other phone.
The Triad, Colombia, Nicaragua, you name it.
You phoning Lawrence to warn him off, eh?
No. Angel, sweetheart.
A small detail that I overlooked. The security people want to know the precise nature of the threat these Americans imagine.
No, we'll get to it.
Best not to know.
I'm out of it anyway.
Thanks, darling.
Well, who's afraid of floppy disks?
What?
They're in high-tech software and worried about computer viruses.
What?
Industrial sabotage, boy.
I'll do it.
It's a doddle. Just never look them straight in the eye slip. It should be easy for you. Give the impression you're constantly on the lookout. Know what I mean? And another tip. Get some cuffs and chain their briefcases to your wrist. Always a nice touch, that.
Well, I'm not sure.
You're cutting it fine, Lawrence.
Yeah, come on, Slip, let's go.
French, Liam, see Slippy into the car, will you?
I ain't got. I'll leave off. I can manage on my own.
Put the auto lock on your doors, Law, and put your foot down.
Oh, I'll be making tracks too, then.
Sit down.
Eh? Oh. Would you like me to put this kettle on for you, or...
You said you heard a whisper, Nico.
About a machine. But you know how unreliable these rooms can be, Ed.
How much do you want for the kettle?
Oh, 15 quid.
Okay.
I heard Rod called in here last night.
Lawrence's son.
Just to sort out a few details on his dad's behalf.
I'll bet.
But don't say I, because I mean, well, you know how it is, Ed.
Yeah. Here's the 15 quid.
Feeling better now, Slippy?
Yeah, thanks.
That's my new age music, special for jangled nerves.
Lovely smooth ride, too.
I think of my car as a total environment.
They'll feel safe in here. I do.
And I mean industrial espionage, that's a doddle for you. Just look in a fruit bowl in their room and the flower vases.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Law.
Talk to your fountain pen.
Nico had a smart idea about handcuffs, too. How about you, Law? Have you made your peace with Terry?
Ignorance is bliss as far as he's concerned. He won't find out I'm driving for Eddie, unless he's after work at our hotel.
They're not staying at the Rialto?
No, the Park Lane Towers.
Lovely. Here, how about me sleeping in the corridor outside your room?
What for?
Because I haven't got anywhere at the moment.
Oh, well, could be seen as part of your duty, Slip. Refuse to be separated from them.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to this fortnight after all.
We can't thank you enough.
As long as everything is to your satisfaction, Junior.
Oh, yes, you have such a beautiful country here.
And my security arrangements?
Can you imagine? The guy even wanted to taste our food and sleep outside our door. Such attention to detail.
And they say the British are slipshod.
Absolutely untrue. So anyway, we managed to book him a little room at the end of the landing. That and going to bed with Jim's briefcase attached to his wrist pacified him somewhat.
Sweet. Oh. Now, Junior, I trust you'll come down and have dinner with me and Henry.
Our diary's pretty full. We'd rather hoped you might honor us with your presence here next week for dinner.
Well, if you prefer. Lovely. But I do hope you'll give yourselves time to enjoy London, as well as work.
We have a couple of theatres booked, but Jim and I do take care of our spiritual and health needs on a day-to-day basis.
Really?
I do Tai Chi at sunup every morning while Jim does his TM. And then we both do a 4-mile run before breakfast every day.
Car service?
Oh, is that you, Eddie?
Who's that?
Oh, you never told me there was elf freaks.
Slippy? Oh. What's up?
Jogging. Round Hyde Park. Can't keep up at shape. 2 stone heavier than I went always.
Pull yourself together, boy. On your marks, get set, go.
Oh, God. Oh, and this briefcase makes it worse.
Hail a black cab.
Not got me money on me yet. They kicked me out in satin shorts. You'll have to send the car.
Do me a favour.
Please, or I'll never catch up with them. Or I won't make it back to the hotel. Bayswater Road, that's where I am.
I've stretched the limit here.
Me too. I could have a cardiac arrest.
What makes you think I'm in business to nursemaid the likes of you?
Ed, don't let me down. Ed.
No, you will spot him, 2-2, 6 foot, satin shorts and a briefcase chained to one wrist.
slumped on the curb near a telephone kiosk.
Morning, Eddie.
Morning, French. Roger, 2-2. Could you tell me what I've done to deserve this?
Not again. I thought you put the machine out of bounds, Ed.
Never mind that. My security guard's fallen by the wayside on a run through Hyde Park. Can you beat that?
I knew he drank too much last night.
Last night? He was meant to be at the Park Towers.
He was. That was the point. He had some of us round for a bit of a party.
Does he think I'm paying him 200 a week to lay on champagne for you lot?
There wasn't any trouble because he's got his own room, Ed.
Then why didn't he invite me?
Well, perhaps he didn't think that,
Oh, no. All I'm fit for is slaving 12 hours a day tied to these phones to provide my drivers with a lifestyle fit for royalty.
Well, I think he just thought...
Shut up!
Shall I go and pick Slippy up for you, Ed?
No.
But, Ed...
Gringo just dropped off in Moscow Road. I've detailed him to do it.
Well, that was handy.
Yes, I like nothing better than to pay my drivers to drive my other drivers around. Tell me, French, you want a chauffeur today? Is there anything I can fix for you? Free hotel on Park Lane? Just say the word, boy.
Which reminds me, funny thing last night, I thought I saw Sancho chatting up the porter on the side steps.
At the Park Lane?
And there was someone with him in the shadows. Could have been Terry, but I couldn't swear to it.
You were drunk.
Yes, well, who are you ringing?
Lawrence. Just in case, put him on his guard.
Yes, why couldn't Law pick slip up?
It might be hard for you to grasp this, French, but the limo is reserved for the client's use, not for Slippy's. Lawrence? Who's that? Rod?
Have you tackled him over the coffee machine yet?
Why? No, I'm going to pick my moment for that, French. Then if you're on the approach of the hotel now, Rod, just keep an eye out for any of Terry's cars.
Where is Lawrence?
I shouldn't think so either. But better safe than sorry, boy. Any hint of a problem, just pick your phone up. Lawrence isn't well.
No surprise, really. He was at the party last night.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm deducting the money Rod nicked from my machine off his fee for this job.
You can only do that, Ed, without proof.
Just watch me.
Ed, I've just cruised the block and pulled into the side of the hotel. Bad vibes.
Tell me.
Three cars. One I definitely recognise, and yes, I think Terry's got the place staked out.
Anyone made a move towards you?
No, but I've got my accelerator covered.
Now listen, Rod, no cops and robbers stuff. I shouldn't think they'll risk anything in broad daylight, but just in case, I do have a driver on approach at the hotel right now. They roughed him up the other night, so they do know his car. A blue Vauxhall Cavalier. May well be shadowing the Yanks by now, out jogging in the park. I want you to try and head that car off before it turns...
Too late!
What?
Here comes our joggers. Just round in the corner and the Vauxhall Cavalier is... Oh, my God, Ed. I think they're going to try and box him in. He's being pushed up on the pavement towards the two... Oh, I'll have to move. I'll have to...
But, Junior, am I really to believe you're curtailing your visit to London by a whole week because you're homesick?
Okay, so we ran into a small problem with regard to business. Okay, I'll go further. We barely escaped with our lives.
I beg your pardon?
Well, sure, we knew our rivals might play dirty to keep us out of the marketplace. We bought ourselves security to advertise our awareness, but never for one moment did we expect them to indulge in gangland tactics.
Gangland? This is England. Maybe you've watched too much American television.
Believe me, there's nothing like being pinned up against a wall for getting into realism in a big way. Like in slow motion, we saw our own limousine caught in a pincer movement between two cars heading for each other and all three heading our way. It was an ambush.
I blame myself entirely. I can't tell you how guilty I feel. I not only put you in touch with this particular cab company, but I failed to declare my daughter's interest. In fact, she not only has a financial interest in the company, but she's embroiled on a personal level in a way that is quite reprehensible.
Then it's your daughter we have to thank.
What?
We are so deeply indebted to the bravery of our bodyguard as well as to the razor-sharp reactions of our chauffeur.
Oh.
Well, having got wind of the situation, our bodyguard placed himself in a decoy vehicle, effectively blocking the path of the car that was aiming to run us over. That car was in turn rammed by our limousine. Our guy then leaps out and slams the other guy over the head who was attempting to escape with our briefcase.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, I'd say that outfit's efficiency reflects very well on your daughter. And this is all the more reason, Geraldine, for you to join in our thank you celebrations in London tomorrow night.
Oh, well, under the circumstances, Junior, mightn't it be more appropriate for Angela to attend in my stead?
I'm going for the lobster thermidor.
You can't order till they join us.
I fancy steak, but I couldn't cut it.
Why not?
On account of my wrist, Laura.
Just be glad you ain't got whiplash like Rod.
Here comes one of them.
With a woman?
That's Angela. Just her to muscle in.
Just be careful what you say.
Hi, you guys. I believe you're already acquainted with Angela.
Hello, sweetheart.
Eddie, Sliffy, and...
Lawrence.
Nothing like keeping things in the family, is there, Eddie?
I'll bet Angela'd cut mistake.
She would not.
Of course I will.
See?
Shut up.
Now, you guys, before we order...
Lobster thermidor, thanks.
Profound apologies for Jim's absence. He's utilizing every spare moment to meditate. He's having problems getting centered again since the trauma of the accident. Well, this type of thing being beyond the parameters of our experience, do not allow this to detract from the reality of his gratitude. He enjoins me in saying, you're truly great human beings. Okay, now, addressing myself primarily to Eddie, who masterminded the operation, and with apologies to you, Angela, for conducting business at this juncture, but my time is limited. I put here on the table three envelopes, cash as requested, one reference the car hire, one the security, and the third one's from my father, who insists on making his own gesture of thanks.
May I say the Atlantic Alliance was a mere precursor.
One of them packets mine.
Put that back on the table. There are certain deductions to be made on your fee.
Why?
On account of your son nicking a week's takings from a coffee machine.
My son was the hero of the hour. If it wasn't for him, you'd have been strawberry jam boy.
None of you took the risks I did.
And what about compensation for the damage done to my car?
You've got fully comprehensive iron reward.
Gringo hasn't, and his car's a write-off.
Madame, may I take your order now?
Yes, I'll have the Parma ham to start with, thank
you. Just keep out of this, Angela.
Followed by the sole bonfire.
I ordered champagne already. I hope you all approve.
And my car will be off the road for 2 weeks.
Hey, watch it, Ed, watch it.
What?
She's only put all three packets in her handbag.
Lovely, and a green salad on the side, thank you.
Madame.
I'll take the money, sweetheart.
No.
As I'm the one making the payout.
You seem to have forgotten, Eddie, that I advanced you £500 for the security firm, which anyway turns out to be Slippy.
Hang on. He was only giving me £300 overall.
And the balance of that will now be needed to offset losses incurred by that stupid drinks machine. And then, after reasonable deductions for the damage to Gringo's car...
Hold it there, Angela. If you think I'm going to sit here on my hands while you give me a lecture on fair play, then you've got another thing coming.
That is your host. May I just interrupt to say, on a very brief acquaintance with you, Eddie, and with you, Angela, I am impressed, not only by your management skills and organizational capacity, but by your mutual integrity. This augurs well for the continuing success of your limousine service. And I would like us all to raise our glasses and drink a toast to that potential.
Junior.
Angela.
Ed.
Slip.
That was Radio Cars by Jennifer Phillips. In the final episode, A Moving Target, the part of Eddie was played by Gary Waldhorn and Angela by Harriet Walter. Mrs. Corfton Brown, Maxine Audley, Nico, Neil Dudgeon, Lawrence, John Strickland, Marshall Jr., William Hope, Slippy, Norman Jones, Frenchie, Terence Edmund, and Liam, Gerard O'Hare. Technical presentation was by Tim Sturgeon, Keith Graham, Suzanne Howard, and Valerie Bainham. The play was directed by Richard Wortley.